I need to press the airplane button on my phone so it doesn't go dig digga dig digga 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 dig digga digga dig 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 dig. There we go, done. Right, that's that bit done.
I'm surprised no one's done a tune to that yet. Probably is on the internet.
Probably a dance track somewhere, yeah, exactly. So. Somebody answers the phone.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 2 of the Unhinged Podcast. My name is Joel Wright and hopefully on the other end of the line is... No, he's not.
No, just fucking with you. Just fucking with you. Seeing how long it would take you. Yeah, it's Lewis. I apologise for what's about to be said. I'm not as grumpy as I was last Thursday, so hopefully it should be at least a bit better. And not as sweary, I hope, this week.
No. And this is an uncut, uncensored show, talking about anything we want to, from films and TV to audiobooks and maybe a few board games. So, and if there's any spoilers, we will warn you.
There will be spoilers. There may be spoilers ahead. Oh, we should talk about my audition as well, maybe. Maybe we should talk about that.
Your audition?
Audition. Yeah, audition. I've actually auditioned.
Have you?
Yeah, for a local production up here. Yeah, I got a part as well.
Nice.
Maybe we'll talk about that later. Maybe not.
Maybe.
No, I was just having a quick look at. I knew I had to finish off bloody Defenders, otherwise you'd have kicked off about it. So,
surprising.
I had one and a half to go. I was halfway through the first, the penultimate one yesterday, and I kind of like went, oh, I'll finish this off, and then just shit got in the way, and then today got in the way, and it was like, right, fine, okay, I'll watch it now. So I was having my dinner. And I just thought, hang on a second, I'm not gonna do this in time, am I? Because I started trying to like work out times. So, so what's that? Okay, who's that? Oh, she's doing okay, right? Okie dokie, right? Okay, cool beans. All right, microphone's in a near enough responsible place. All right, in front of my face. Oh, hang on. That reminds me. I need to go and get something to drink. Hang on a sec. Right, 2 seconds. Yeah, I actually had to have a shower as well. I've been doing man chores today, so good.
That's what I've been doing as well.
Man chores. All right. Hang on a sec. Don't spill over the top. Thank you. San Francisco and in San Francisco. A beer from San Francisco. One of them poncy pretentious beers that Sam likes to drink. All right, okay. Press record on that. There we go. That's recording. Okay, cool. Good evening, sir.
Hello, how are you doing?
Not too bad at all. So go on then. What's been your domesticated man chores of the day?
Washing, tidying up.
Shit. That's rubbish. That's not man chores. That's domesticated chores. Go on. What man chores you had?
Well, you put it like that, none.
Exactly. that's not man chores. I did 2 loads of washing, hung them out, dry them, folded them up, put them in the airing cupboard and did that kind of crap. Yeah, I did that. That was easy.
I did man chores the other day.
Go on.
Put up a blind, put up some shelving and put some more shelving.
All right, that's man chores. The only reason I'm doing it is because I'm bragging. I've actually done some shit today. I actually did a raised flower bed.
All right.
One of those, I don't believe I actually did that kind of... chores. And hang on a second, I've actually got to turn my phone off. If we get that noise that it likes to make, hang on a sec. Let me do this. Hang on a second. Right, so right, so for the interest of our viewers, because obviously this is making fantastic listening, viewers, for our listeners, this makes a fantastic listening as I'm trying to trawl through my phone to send photograph just to show the effort that I went to this afternoon. Right, hang on a second. If I send you that one and that one, there we go, and then press OK. All right, there you go.
What, are you sending them on Skype?
No. Oh. WhatsApp.
Ah. That old chestnut. Oh, yeah.
There you go. Now turn my phone off again.
Look at that.
Exactly, right? So what happened was I moved into this place on April when I was supposed to have sold my house, when the buyers decided that they had everything in order and then actually lying. And 6 months later, we now put it back on the market again. But has since been sold again, so hopefully we'll exchange. Anyway, the place I moved into had four raised flower beds that the previous person had made out of pallets, but done them like you would if you were a kind of, I don't know, year six woodwork attendee that kind of held a hammer once in their life. And the guy, the landlady sent around her grandson and said, here you go. Here's a new decking for you. So I sorted out my decking and did everything. It was just like, awesome. I said, right, keep that wood. I'll make a proper raised bed out of it. And that's what you're looking at. And that was this afternoon. Boy and I were sitting there this afternoon cutting up wood, making it look good, and made a raised bed out of it. And I shall be trashing the other. I've trashed two of them. I've just got two more to trash and to kind of make good. And yes, then my landlady will come around and go, you're amazing. Have a month's rent free. No, she's actually a really, really nice landlady. She said, will you do this and do this around the house? And I went, yeah, all right, fine. And then she just sends a check through the post saying, here you go, here's 100 quid. Thank you. It's like, awesome. So I have a nice landlady who I like to do favors for every now and again. So, and she's about 92 or 90 years old. She's proper old. But one of those old people that does shit. And I think she had a hernia or close to heart attack or something really, you know, dangerous for an old person to have around about 2 months ago. And 2 weeks later, signed herself out of the hospital and went home because she had shit to do. One of those kind of old people, you know. When my son gets the sniffles of a cold and he's dying on a sofa for 3 days, 4 days, possibly the whole week because he has the sniffles. Yeah, she has a brain aneurysm, kind of goes, yeah, it's all right. I'll see myself out. It's fine. I'm good.
He's in practice for man flu, isn't he?
Oh, he's horrific. That's Lewis. He's absolutely horrific when it comes to colds. When he gets the sniffles, it's just like, oh, man, we just got moany, whiny person for the next kind of 3 days. And then all of a sudden he goes, oh, wasn't that bad? So we said we're going to video him the next time he has a cold just to show him how bad he is. So it's horrific.
Cool.
Oh, so that's been my chores for the day, as well as the last 2 weeks was my time to look after the kids. Because of the summer holidays is the wife has she has to work because she's at the Big Sheep. So she sorry, hang on a second. I'm being distracted and I've now turned it off. So she had to work. She has to work because she works in a touristy type place. So I took 2 weeks off this week and tried to entertain them. I took them to Down Your Way.
Yeah.
To that water place where you did jiggy jiggy with your wife. I didn't go into the pool. I didn't know if it had been cleaned since the last time that you were there. It looked like it probably hadn't, to be fair.
It wasn't in the pool, but
and I gotta say, it wasn't that bad. The only thing was, okay, so British weather. So I've been to Wet n Wild in Florida.
Yeah.
And I've been to what's that place called we went to in Spain? They've got its water park. Anyway, massive bloody place. Slip and slide, pretty something wet and wonderful, whatever it's called. Anyway, so they've got this place down in Torquay. That's a very similar thing. It's got two structures with lots of slides and tubing going off. And to be honest, 45 quid for the three of us. I was expecting more. But what I wasn't expecting was when you get up that high, the wind coming across the hilltops there, yep. Even though it was sunny,
Yeah.
You don't want to be doing that too many times on a windy day, on a cold, windy day. That was quite bad. I could see why people were renting little three-quarter length wetsuits and everything. So,
yeah. It's not that great. I mean, I haven't been back since. And that's the same as Cyprus. When I went to Cyprus, I said to the wife, I want to go to the water, but they got a massive water park not too far from where we were staying. And so we said, okay, that's fine. So we checked out on the internet, check out how much it was going to cost. And it was going to cost for the four of us to go about nearly over £100.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, no, not spending that kind of thing. So, yeah, they seem to be getting expensive, these water parks.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to find the one. But it was the one we went to in Spain was really, really nice, actually. And it was one of those water parks where you were queuing up for some kind of time, but really genuinely it wasn't that bad. And the one in Torquay, I think it was quite a nice day, so the queues were all right, but the tubing queues were just ridiculous, and that's always the way. So I did every ride. I did that one, that kind of vertical drop, yep, where most of my swimming trunks were actually rectally worn for about an hour afterwards. Do you know what? That one actually hurt my back more than actually my ass. Although my ass cheeks did hurt at the end, it did feel like a good night out. But genuinely, it was one of those rides where after about the third time I went down it, I went, I cannot do that ride anymore. It actually physically hurts to go down that ride.
Wow.
So that'd be dumb. Yeah, so fat old flabby bloke. So, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there with me a mile or 3 miles a week in the swimming pool. Yeah, yeah. It's not too bad.
I tried to do 50 meters non-stop, and I got to spout 75 meters. I was like, okay, I'm a bit out of shape.
For the first time, I actually got in the pool
I got that wrong, I know. It's 50 meters, not 75 meters. A length and a half. So that's pretty bad.
You did a length and a half and got out of breath. Deary me, dude.
I'm carrying shoulder injury, and yeah, I
want you chasing me as a policeman. That's what I want. If I'm ever doing something wrong, if I see you chasing me, I'm on for a winner.
I'm not a swimmer. That's my trouble. I don't like going swimming. But so I was taking every opportunity to take the kids swimming, and then it's like, okay, let's get into fitness. But I am carrying a shoulder injury for some reason, and I don't know why. And it's not even my dominant. Dominant
that
shoulder.
That age thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
you've woken up and you're going, oh, why's that hurt? Yeah. That's my knees.
Oh, no, I was pumping iron in the gym, and then it was like,
oh, don't pumping iron. Don't ever claim to be pumping iron. You were lifting some.
And I was like, why's my shoulder hurting me so much? Oh, and then I was like, okay. And it's been like it for weeks, months even now.
My knees are the same. So. I didn't do anything. I wasn't pumping iron or doing anything exertive. I was just, I think, sorting out some lights in the house, in the old house, and doing some tidying up.
Yeah.
Following down, left knee killing me, and has been now for 3 months. Mr. Physio and Mr. Doctor says, looks at me and goes, age. Just get on with it. Do some exercises and do this and do that. And that was about it. That's all I got to. So, but I was in the pool last week on Saturday, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I swam for about half hour. And then went, oh, I should stop now, really, and do some stretching or something.
Yeah.
And then swam for another kind of 45 minutes. I did about 100 lengths.
Yeah.
In just over an hour and five, hour and 10. I was quite happy with that. And then got out and did the wobbly leg thing. And then sat in the sauna for 10 minutes and went, I better man up and try and sneak out. And, yeah. So that was good. So I'm getting there. I am getting there.
Yeah, so, there was a guy when I was in there last time. There's a guy, and he must be a professional swimmer, because he was like zipping through the lengths, and he was doing all kinds of strokes and things like that. And I was just watching in awe. I was like, never going to be that fast. It's just like, he looked like he was putting no effort into it at all as well. It's just like, yeah, here comes another length. I was like, how do they do that? But
I was there with, I was there the other week, and there was a dude in the pool, and I kind of like watched him going up and down and got in and started doing lengths with him. And then about the halfway mark for me, for my mile, he stopped and got out, and he was sitting by the side of the pool. And I thought, you know what, I'll stop now and have a chat. Is it a good excuse to have a chat and stop? Mm. And he turned around and he said, thank you very much indeed for getting in the pool, because you kind of spurred me on to do the rest of it. And I looked and went, what were you doing? He goes, I was doing the mile, because I work for a PGL, which is a kind of kids camp thing down here in Devon. There's a few sites where they do, and he has to do it in a certain time,
right?
And he did a mile non-stop. I can't do a mile non-stop.
Wow.
And yeah, and he was doing it at the same speed. I was kind of trying to keep, not so much keep up with him, but keep the speed there, because it's really annoying when you've got somebody really close behind you or really slow in front of you. So
yeah,
every time he'd start from one length, I was doing it. And so yeah, so it was one of those things, and I just like went, all right, there's not a goal of mine, but it was like, I can see where, you know, where you've got to be and everything. And I mean, there's a girl swimmer down there, and she is awesome. And I'm sure she must be a triathlete, because she just goes and just doesn't stop. She's like a bloody machine. And it's awesome. When I get in the pool and she's there, I try and keep up with her, but just try and keep a constant pace with her. It's good pace setting. And yeah. I can't do it. Can't I mean, do it. She just keeps going and going and going.
My wife's quite a strong swimmer. And when we were in Cyprus, I said, you might fancy a race at the length of the pool. And she's like, all right. And so we went for it and I just powered through and I beat her. And she was only halfway through. And she was like, and you say you're not a strong swimmer. I said, yeah, but I'm shattered now. I'm not going to do another length. but my daughter puts me to shame. She's done, I don't know if you've seen, she just done her 800 meter certificate. And that was like doing constant lengths of the pool kind of thing. And it's got to 600 meters. And I said, you've now done your 600 meters. Do you want to stop? She goes, no. What's next? 800 meters. Okay, I'm going to do that now. I was like, we realise it's so many more lengths. Yeah, it's fine. I was like, oh my God. And I was knackered just watching her and walking up and keeping tally of the lengths she was doing.
Wow. Yeah, no. Yeah, it's good. When you see somebody that's doing that and doing it well, it's good inspiration. And yeah, I've been trying to do it. Especially when I see old people doing it better than I am. Like, I mean, proper old people. It's just like, right, okay, fine. A bit more effort, I think. So. So that's good. So how is, okay, so for those of you who don't know, Joel is kind of, he's trying to be a policeman. I don't know why. He just likes hitting people, I think. and you're going out for it again. Is that right?
Yeah. Plymouth Constabulary now I've advertised and I've got to do the application form now. So if you don't know how the police system works to get into it, it's about 5-6 part process. So you've got initial kind of sign up, fill out a few basic details, and then answer 11 questions of your own personal opinions of stuff they ask. So you can usually figure those out quite easily, unless you're just going to answer it honestly and you won't get through. But you get through that bit, you then go through this system of they ask you so like 70 odd questions about something, and you've got to answer it either disagree, not a comment, agree, completely agree. You've got to answer that meant to be truthfully, but again, you can game that system as well. And I just scraped through the last time I done it. I only got to get 40% right, and I got 42 last time. This time I upped my score by 68%, which is not bad.
Yay!
Yay! And then the next thing is these video situations you've got to do. So you watch 20 videos, and then you've got to give your opinions, whether they're give your expert kind of feedback, because they give you 4 answers and you've got to see if they're like kind of constructive, not constructive, or things like that, and you've got to answer that. And I do pretty well on that. 97% I get on that. So and then
so you're properly racist then, is that what it is? Yeah
and rude, and I just tell them to fuck off,
obviously sexist, stuff like that. Yeah. And like just smack children around the head. Yeah. Awesome. I apologize for the stereotype.
No, I'm completely not like that at all. I couldn't be like that with my job I've got it anyway. And then the next bit is the application form, which is a grueling intense. You've got about 2 weeks to fill it out, and you've got to put in all the details. Everything's got to be right. It's got to be handwritten, and there can't be any mistakes. There can't be crossing out or anything like that. And then they've got 10 questions, but 4 of them is like writing an essay, but you can only fit it into 4 paragraphs. So they ask you a question. I don't know. Like an example, tell us how you helped someone out, kind of thing. Why you did it, how you came about it, decisions you made, and things like that. And that is the worst bit. And I think last time I scraped through that by getting, because they mark the first 4 out of A, B, C, or D. And if you get A and B, you're through. If you get C or D, you're out. And I just got through with a B. So now this time I'm trying to figure out how I can write the 2 questions I got wrong better this time. But then the next bit is the assessment centre, which is another tough, a grueling day of fitness, swimming, and doing lots of tests. And there's also kind of a role-playing aspect to it as well.
Giggity.
So they put you in a situation, then you just got to try and deal with it in your best ability as a civilian. So, yeah. I mean, I got through all the way to that bit last time. And the worst thing was, like, I was waiting for my placement day because there's two options. And first one went by and I heard nothing. So then the second one was coming up and I was like, not heard yet. So I emailed them, what's happening? When am I going to get to know when I'm going? They said, oh, we've got no spaces left. I was like, oh, great. Wonderful. Good luck for applying next time. Thanks. So I just left it at that and I was just like, fine, whatever. And then, so that's what I'm hoping. It's only going to be about 60 minutes long, this episode, so I don't have to edit too long and I can get back to writing an application format.
so that's why you want to do it quick. Okay, no, that's all right. Okay. Apart from that, I've applied for a job, but that's about it. That's what it goes for. I applied. That's it, as you do. Another job in DCC, this time being slightly more popular than I am, or kind of trying to be more grown up than I am. That's about it. Dan, okay, coming in. Let's talk. We're going to talk about games or films. Which one to talk about first?
Let's go. So after the last episode.
Games, films, or TV? Which one? Which one we're going with?
Well, let's go with homework first. So after homework? The last episode. Yeah. It felt like Lewis set me a ton of homework. Listen to this, watch this, and do something with this. But so I listened to Ready Player One on audio, and thankfully I was going away on holiday up country and driving around the country, and I had plenty of time to listen to that. And wow, that was a great story. It's like very nostalgic, lots of stuff going on in it. It seems to be name dropping any kind of nerd or geek thing possible from the 80s.
He went through every reference and made sure he ticked every box.
He did. It just felt like it was like an ultimate stereotypical fantasy for a boy. It was like a wet dream come true kind of thing. He put everything into this book, even down to the certain ending, which would spoil. But yeah, it was great. I was hooked. There was even points where, like, the kids were doing something and I was just like, I'm just going to walk off to the side here and carry on listening while they're just playing kind of thing and ignore everyone we were visiting just so I can listen to the next bit. But yeah, it's a great book. I mean, premise is, I don't know what I was expecting from it really, but there was a great story behind it and some shocking moments and some tense moments.
Are you talking about the old lady and the stacks?
Yeah. That was, and I can't wait to see the movie, but I got a feeling it's not going to be that similar to the book. Because like in the trailer, it shows some kind of car race or chase. But
I think it's how they're relating certain situations of chase. I think that's probably what that is.
Yeah.
When they've been trying to hunt people down, or when they're trying to find things and things like that. Yeah. I got the same feeling. I think that they're going to throw as many references that probably weren't in the book. I mean, for instance, the Iron Giant, I think my boy, when he was seeing it probably isn't, but they just like went, oh, the Iron Giant's in it. And that inspired them to kind of almost go and listen or read it again. So, yeah. You know, I don't remember that reference being in there and stuff, but it's no. I don't really care. I'm just really looking forward to it.
But it's one of those things. It's because there's so many references from so much pop culture. Whoever's got it, I can't remember who's the film company who's got it. Unless it's like Disney or something like that, they're not going to be able to put a lot of the stuff in because it's from so many different genres.
If it's Spielberg, you'll probably get a pass on certain things,
well,
which
that's
he
it.
Is.
But as we said, it basically took everything from the 80s and crammed it into this one book. I don't know if they're going to be able to...
Most of it Spielberg probably owns.
Probably does, actually. But yeah, I just don't know how they're going to do that. And I suppose if they're going to stick to what the storyline is, they're going to have to try and buy certain licenses to make it work, really.
That was probably the given before it even started, you know, whether it be, you know, Joust and every other video game that they're referencing and stuff. I think that's where... The nerd in me, when he was kind of going through, especially the beginning bit when he was talking about all the things that he could reference and watch and listen to, I thought, this dude's got to be about 30 or 40 years old to be able to have nailed absolutely everything that he was quoting and have watched everything that he said he's watched, because there was so much in there. But there's always that thing in movies where whenever I tend to watch a film, I tend to watch it with a blank slate. And I'll watch the film or a film and I'll kind of go, I'll give it a pass to a certain degree. And some films get a bigger pass than others, depending on the actors or the kind of the genre or whatever they're talking about or that they're involved in. But this, the same thing with this book, I was kind of going along going, all right, you've ticking all, you know, the right boxes and kind of flicking all my right switches for this thing. It's fine. I'll give you a pass with, yeah, I've learned all the Monty Python things, even the obscure ones and all this kind of stuff. I was kind of going, okay, whatever. There's a lot of material there that I think I don't believe so. But anyway, keep going and so on. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And I know that my two boys, the youngest one, Connor, he listened to the audiobooks. And when we were going down to the water park, strange enough, referring to a thing earlier, we were listening to it. I said to my middle one, Lewis, I said, have you actually listened to it or read it yet? Because he had the book. And he says, no, I haven't. I said, okay, on the journey down there, it's about an hour and a half for me, hour and a half-ish journey. So I put Ready Player One. I said, where'd you get up to? He said, we got up to, we hit play, went down there. And even my youngest son was kind of going, oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah, that's good. As bits were coming up, as he was remembering what was coming up and everything. And we got back home again. And it was just before, so he'd got the key. He now had to go and undo the lock, the gate, whatever it was called. I forgot what it's called now. But he had to go to the town where the dude lived, and he had to go into the kind of one of those replicas and, you know, do that kind of stuff. So, and we just got there and we pulled up back home again, and I just turned the car off. And my middle one looked at me and went, what are you doing? And I just said, stuff to do, stuff to clean up. And he just looked at me. So he's been listening to it ever since. He's now, you know, I think halfway through. And yeah, so he's really loving it. And he said the same thing. He says, I'm so looking forward to the film. I've got to finish this before the film comes out. So
it's so funny. When it was in the car, I was like, I can plug my phone in and it comes through the dashboard and things like that. And so I plugged my phone in and it was playing. I thought, it's not been too bad. There's been a few swear words, but I mean, the kids have seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and even I got embarrassed with that. And so we're driving along, and it got to the bit where he's talking about masturbation. I was like, no, okay, how long is this going on for? And it carries on, and it carries on. And it's like, no. I mean, he's not masturbating on it. He's talking about it. And it's like, oh, my God, I'm just looking around the car. And I think the wife was sleeping, unless she just had her eyes closed trying to ignore it.
She was probably sniggering. Exactly.
And then I looked at the kids, and one was asleep, and the other one had their headphones on. I was like, hopefully it's just not paying any attention. And it got through, and I was like, oh, I can breathe now. That's over with. I was like, no way. Why did that bit have to come up?
There's certain films that I've watched with the boys and references and things that we've watched. And I think my boys have wished I hadn't been in the room at the same time. So it's been quite amusing. So it's good. It's always good. And you get those moments where you know, this is just as awkward for them as it is for you. That unspoken silence of, let's just pretend that didn't happen and move on to the next bit.
I think there's a bit in the, film they have changed is, they reckon he will meet, kind of the love interest early on than he did in the book.
I like the way it rolled in the book.
I did.
You didn't know, and you kind of did, but you didn't know, and you needed to kind of find out. And I really enjoyed that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Lewis, who's listening to it at the moment, says it's not fair that he's got this stupid affection for this stupid other girl. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stuff. And I was like, and my son and I were both looking at my youngest and I kind of looked, just going, we can't talk to you. We can't talk to you. And he would say words and I would just, we both respond saying, we can't talk to you. You need to finish it. We can't talk to you. And he's going, so what? So they do get together and I said, we can't talk to you. Don't ask questions. Uh-huh. Just listen. So yeah. So it's good. So okay, so you enjoyed Ready Player One. Yeah. I haven't got any other books I could recommend. I'm reading some other books, but they're much hippie-ish books. They're not kind of technical books or funny books or adventure books. So go on, film then. Have you got one for me then? Have you got an audio book I should be listening to? Trevor Noah's Born a Crime. That's an awesome book.
I mean, my favourite one I've ever listened to was The Martian. The film was...
No, I saw the film before.
I that was my first audiobook I listened to, and I was just like, this is brilliant. I've listened to a few others, but they're kind of just standard, not really Nothing to shout about. I'm just having a quick look. But I also picked up... Waystation's quite good, I think. Yeah. That was all right, actually. You could look at that one. That's got old Eric Summerer from the Dice Tower narrating that.
Oh, I'm not surprised you jizzed all over that. Do you just have all of his books lined up?
No, I haven't. Got a couple more, but no, I haven't got all of them. The other one I have downloaded is The Dark Tower. I haven't started listening to it yet because I started reading the book. And I just, my problem with reading books is I fall asleep and I just forget where I got to, and then I keep reading the same page over and over again. So with audio, I can do something else and just do something and still get some culture into me. I've got that to listen to this month. Don't know if you've listened or read it.
Nope. I'm calling it up now. Hang on a second. There we go. I'm adding two wish lists. That's all. So that's cool.
So with the film coming out, I thought, yeah, let's get that down and see what that's like. What I read of it so far was quite interesting, quite cool, but I don't think I got too into it too much to really say, oh, this is great. But we'll see what the audio does.
Cool beans.
So the films that you told me to check out.
Didn't tell you, but carry on.
We watched Kong Skull Island with the wife, and that was brilliant. And that was really great. Even though that bloody Chris Hacker tried to spoil it a bit for us. Samuel Jackson is we weren't going to say that word, is a dick. Through the film, and you just want him to die anyway, and it was so brilliant because there was that moment when one of the guys, they're walking through like bamboo, tall bamboo, and then he's taking a drink and then all you hear is, and you're doing around, he's got something going through his face kind of thing, and like Claire's like going, what is that? And it pans up and you can't quite see what's going on. She goes, what is it? I said, you really don't want to know. She goes, but what is it? I don't understand. What is it? I said, it's a fucking great big spider. She's like, oh, okay. That's just rubbish. So, yeah, I enjoyed that. And then I watched Life. That was interesting. It was good. Very predictable, I thought.
Warning, spoilers ahead. Fast forward to
35
minutes and 20 seconds if you don't want this shit spoiled.
Because you just kind of foresee everything that's going to happen, even down to the ending. It's just like, yeah, you just one of those predictable endings. It was enjoyable and it was tense and it was just like, holy crap, how do you stop this? But it was just one of those, it's... stupid in many sense, and I slightly gutted what's his name, Ryan Reynolds got was out of it from the beginning. So
when I heard was listening to all the press junkets that they do, where they kind of go around and they kind of talk to every single person, the Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal, they were quite funny together in the chair. And actually, if you see any YouTube clips of them just chatting, it's actually really funny. I think Ryan Reynolds is very good anyway when he does those things. I think he just takes the mick out of, you know, all the stuff he does. But when they were kind of explaining what they were selling it on, I thought, oh, okay, fine. And I expected so much more from what their description was. But yeah, you're right. I kind of sat there kind of going, yeah, okay. And my boys really enjoyed it. You know, they sat there and they said exactly the same as you did. They knew what it was going to happen. They knew when the infected one, when they landed and all that kind of stuff. They just knew. They just, you know, even my youngest one said, oh, that was just so predictable. And he called it. He called it before. He goes, the one when it was spinning away and this, that, and the other. And he went, you know the infected one's going to Earth.
Yeah.
You just know it. And he said that. He just said it straight away. So,
but it's one of those silly things. So, they could see inside the pod. And we're getting into spoiler territory here now. So I'll probably have to put a spoiler at the beginning of this now. But you can see inside the pod. And it's like, okay, you see what's going on. He's in some kind of gooey cocoon. Are you really going to open that door? Kind of thing. And you can see he's shaking his head and saying, no. So even any language understands no. So, yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to be the unsung heroes, weren't they, at the end? But that's just... as I said, it's just predictable. I was like, yeah, because the hatch didn't pop when it landed. And it was just like, yeah, it's the one in... Earth has ended.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. All gone. Goodbye. Thank you very much indeed. So, that's good. God, what else did you see? What else did you go and watch? You watched a film that I wasn't going to watch. One with a dude sitting on a chair.
I haven't watched it yet. I've still got it. Haven't you? I need to watch it because I'm running out of time to watch it. So that might be something I need to watch. But I got Get Out. And I need to really watch that because I am definitely running out of time. So yeah, I got that. I did go and see Spider-Man Homecoming with the boy. And thoroughly enjoyed that. That was a good Spider-Man movie. It's not the standard let's rehash the origins. It just carries straight on from Civil War. There's no flashbacks. There's no referencing. Well, there's a little bit, but they don't make a big deal about it. So it's just a great, it's like it's happened already. It's happened twice already. So everyone knows how he became Spider-Man and what happened. So it just carries on in its own little story arc. And Michael Keaton is a brilliant villain. Psychopathic idiot in a way, but he's just...
I haven't seen it yet.
So...
I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I can't. You can spoil it as much as you like. It doesn't bother me. There's
not much to spoil about it at the end of the day.
I was going to say it's a superhero filmy kind of thing, so I can't imagine it being kind of like that kind of.
It doesn't really spoil. I mean, the trailers gave a lot out.
I think the poster did more, didn't it?
Yeah, probably. So I mean, I don't know. I just enjoyed it for the story and how it rolled, and it was great. And it was good because he is Spider-Man, but he doesn't fully understand his powers, and he's still trying to get to grips with what he's capable of doing, kind of thing. And there's like funny comedy moments where he's trying to learn trajectory swings and things like that. And then there's even great moments that he realizes he hasn't gone very high when he's wall climbing, kind of thing. And he's like climbing this building. And he's like, holy shit, this is high, kind of thing. So, it's just great like that. And he's a kid. He's actually a kid that's like struggling with life and like kid issues and things like that. So it's brilliant. So,
I think as long as he doesn't do dance routines, we should be all right. So
No dance routines, as I can remember.
That's good.
And you need to stay right to the end because it's one of the best outtakes at the end. So.
All films now have that outtake thing at the end, that kind of bit at the end. So you have to watch it.
Yeah. Well,
my boys are now fully trained on that. It's fine.
Sometimes you feel like a right idiot when you just sat there, kind of, come on. Yep.
You're sitting there, everyone's leaving, and you're kind of going, nope, not moving.
The boy makes me laugh because he knows he just goes off down to the front where the screen is and just dances. So instead of having Spider-Man dance, I had my boy dancing and he's just dancing away to the music. Then he's pretending to be Spider-Man and it was just great watching him. So,
that's cool.
I don't think I watched any other movies, I don't think. I'm trying to think now. Nope. But I have got, because Amazon $1.99 deal was on, and I picked up a couple more. Ghost in the Shell, the recent one.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Have you seen the new one, have you?
Yep.
Cool.
I saw the animated one. I've seen the animated one years ago.
Yeah.
So I was good to see it again.
I think I've seen it. I really can't remember it. And then The Great Wall.
No interest in seeing that as the Matt Damon one, isn't it?
So, yeah, but it's $1.99, so I was like, hell, let's put it on the list. So I've got those to watch, plus the Get Out, if that hasn't finished yet.
The Get Out, that was the one. That was the one. Yeah, that was the one you were talking about. Yeah.
So,
Well, the only ones I've seen, ones I've recently seen, which I quite enjoyed, was Table 19, which is a silly little comedy thing about a wedding table that you dump all the kind of riffraff from the different families onto. That was exactly what I thought it would be, kind of romantic comedy kind of silly thing.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend that. Steve Merchant did what Steve Merchant does and a few other people in it. It was all right. It's whatever. Don't care. The one that caught me, it's one of those films that I've been kind of eyeing up for a while and just thought, do you know, I really want to see this, but I don't know why. And it's kind of weird and kind of, it's called Catfight.
Right.
And, okay. So it's two former college friends have a bit of a rivalry and they both attend an event. One of them's an artist, a struggling artist, opposes the man and all it stands for, everything. And this other lady, who's, I think, more accustomed to, oh, what's that hospital thing that's in America that's been going on for years, but it's not Casualty. It's Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Sandra Oh. I think that's how you pronounce the surname. I recognize her, I think, from being in that. And she's this kind of almost trophy-ish wife kind of thing from this kind of very guy does lots of deals and everything. Anyway, it kicks off and it's just this kind of silly film about what you've got and appreciating what you have and all that kind of stuff. And it was still entertaining. It was quite good. And it has a Titus Burgess in it, which is the dude, if you know Kimmy Schmidt, I don't know what his name is, and I always forget what his name is in Kimmy Schmidt, and I shall have to have a look. But he's the one that Kimmy Schmidt's renting the flat off downstairs. Have you seen Kimmy Schmidt?
Nope.
Okay. I would recommend you watch Kimmy Schmidt, as well as obviously RuPaul's Drag Race if you're doing Netflixy stuff, because they're both awesome. But I forgot what his character name is. And anyway, he's in that, and he's Titus in that as well. Of course he is. Yes, anyway, he's in that, and it made me smile. But it's a silly little film. One of those, another film that I kind of sat there, got to the end and went, I didn't have to watch that.
But you did.
Kind of shrugged my shoulders. I was a bad parent because Die Hard with a Vengeance, we watched just before Christmas, I think it was, or just after, I think, with my boys. Right. Or was it earlier on this year? I don't know. I think we were struggling. I think it might have been earlier on this year. We were struggling for a film to watch, and it is a 15. And I know it's got some rude words in it, but it's kind of 1980s violence or 1990s violence. So I knew it was going to be that bad. So I watched that with the boy, and he just went, it's all right. and so we watched 2 and 3, I think it was. 3 being the one with Samuel Jackson and 2 being the one with the airplane.
Yeah.
And they are. They're such popcorn movies. It just, yeah, it's one of those, yeah, made me smile kind of thing, but not in a really particularly good way. And we were going to watch something else as well that was on Netflix. I think it was Death Note, but we didn't get around to doing it. So.
Oh, yeah. That Mist looks good. Have you seen that one?
I've watched 2 or 3 episodes of that. Right. Now, okay, so you watched the film. Have you watched the film?
No.
Really? Right, okay, no. Can't talk to you. Right, moving on.
Is it linked to the film? Was it similar?
I don't know. I just don't want to... The film, okay, so for those people who have watched it, knows what I'm talking about when I say I can't talk about it.
Right.
And it's, I can't because it will spoil a great ending.
Right, okay.
And it's one of those films that, and it's like I say, Usual Suspects and Sixth Sense, all those kind of stuff are films you can't talk to people about unless you want to be a dick. And The Mist is one of those films where if I tell you about it and we talk about it, and it takes away the whole point of watching, you know, the kind of film. So it's quite good. Is it? Yes, it is. But I think the film kind of drops what's going on a lot sooner than the TV series has, and kind of insinuates what could be going on and all that kind of stuff. So
do you reckon I should watch the film first before the series?
I don't know why there's a series. I genuinely don't know why there's a series. And that's why I'm watching it, to find out why there's a series about it.
Right.
And I said, I can't talk anymore.
Okay. I'm going to hunt down the film then.
Yeah. So if you can get the film cheap, it can't be that. I'm surprised it's not even on Amazon on their free stuff. So
Stephen King's The Mist. No, that's the book. Is that the book?
Is it on there?
I'll buy and
rent. It's The Mist. Yeah. It's a rental thing. So yeah, that's the one.
What's with Shudder? Watch with Shudder.
Watch with Shudder on Amazon Channels. Oh, yeah. What's that?
I don't know what that is. Got a 7-day free trial. Might try that out then.
Right, so I have not watched Game of Thrones for the last 3 weeks.
Ooh.
So you can't talk. I know the final was this week, wasn't it?
I watched it. So I'm not going to talk. I wasn't going to talk about it because people might be behind. And
I'm 3 weeks behind. I've just had so much stuff with the kids and everything in the last two weeks. It's just like, nope, I haven't had time. And I know the third one was out yesterday. So not had time yet.
Passing by that then quickly.
Yep, moving on. Rick and Morty's awesome. Because my boys
haven't watched any of that yet.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
The thing I have watched, it's on Sky. I don't know where you can get it elsewhere. Is a series called Dark Matter.
Nope.
So it's a sci-fi in space. Band of misfit assholes get together and do missions each episode. It's actually really good. So the actual premise of it is six people, and these are really random people, wake up from a status because there's an emergency and they get woken up and they've all lost their memories of the past. So they know who each other is or why they're there or what they're doing, but they realize that they do know what talents they've got. So one of them's really good with computers, one of them's really good with guns, the other one's like a master of kung fu and weapons, hand-to-hand weapon combat kind of thing. And there's some kid on there as well. And like the first season is going through and you're kind of finding out why they're there and how they got there and what their past was like. And it's actually really good. And I've enjoyed the first season. And there's two more seasons for me to watch.
And what's it called?
Dark Matter.
Dark Matter, okay.
So,
adding to list.
So, yeah. I'm going to start watching the second season. Our good friend, our Will Wheaton's in it. So,
your good friend, you know him well, do you?
I know him well, no. I think everyone thinks they know him well. But, yeah, he's in it. Not a lot, but he's in it. That's something I've watched, other than Defenders, but we're going to leave that to the end because we're going to spoil the shit out of that. So if you've not watched Defenders, beware.
Other things we were doing when we were trawling through Netflix and everything, got my boys into the IT Crowd. That was mildly amusing that they both kind of got it. And they both found it quite funny. And I was kind of semi-explaining some of the stuff because obviously I do that stuff in sitting in basements and everything. And the fact that I have worked in offices where I have been in the basement, and that is where you put the IT department. And it's just funny. And it's just, it was awesome. And we watched the first three episodes of the first season, and it still makes me laugh. So it's awesome. So yeah.
I do love that. I mean, I'm kind of in an office environment now with the lecturing. But I've not seen things like on Facebook, one of those kind of 47 things that office people get up to or something like that in there. So I usually have a good flick through that. And it's usually like pictures of people being kind of passive aggressive or like passive joking.
Passive aggressive notes.
Or just stuff going on. Or like one of them was someone says, this is what the IT department give you if you need a new keyboard because you broke the last one. And it's like all the buttons have been changed to LOL or LOL or LOL all the way along kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm trying to think now straight off my head what else there was. Someone photocopied images, like the same image of him kind of thing, cut it out and just left them in random places before he left. What was it? The padlock on the milk so no one can steal their milk. Oh, it's just great. I was like, really? They got all this time to just do this shit kind of thing.
That's what your life becomes when you work in an office. It's that mundane and boring. It's just hence the reason why I don't like working in offices. It's just, yeah, you become that petty and boring and it's horrendous. So,
So, yeah.
That's cool. Right, okay. I was going to say, I, apart from that, have not really had much time, because I say the last time we talked, I think, was the start of summer holidays. And with summer holidays and work and stuff, I've been doing Skype rollouts and Windows 10 deployments and new networks and all those kinds of bits and pieces, being slightly nightmare. Then 2 weeks with the kids of trying to entertain them when all they want to do is play video games.
Yeah.
Rust, Ark Survival, Minecraft, and what was the other one? Oh, there's another one as well. Unturned. There you go. They're the four games. If they never had to leave the house again and you put those four games on a loop, they would be absolutely fine. And just fed them shit through a tube, they would be absolutely fine. So, yeah, they wouldn't care.
So these all on PlayStation?
Ark is both, I believe, and probably on Xbox as well, but I know that they play Ark on PlayStation with their mates. I know that a friend of my son's is actually looking at buying a PC simply to play Rust, which is a £15 game, and he wants to spend, I think, upwards of around about 900 quid on a new PC to play a £15 game.
Wow.
And I'm saying, I've told his mum, I said, don't. he's a console boy. And although I'd love to say, yeah, yeah, fine, okay, you can get a really cheap PC that will run this, you know, I could probably pick him, you know, make him one for like 500 quid, as it were. I know what will happen the moment he starts going down that route of Steam.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, so you don't need top of the range, but with the new kind of AMD chipsets and all these kinds of bits and pieces, and we were going down this kind of nerdy route, I said, okay, if you've got a grand, he was looking at spending 1,200 quid. I said, look, I can do it for eight. A decent machine of that spec for eight. And depending if it was a mechanic keyboard and all that kind of stuff, maybe nine. But I just said, this is a 15 quid game and you're going to be so disappointed after you've kind of got bored of it that you've got this £900 thing sitting in the corner. Just buy a PlayStation Pro and buy VR and just, you know, don't do this. And I think he's going to go out and buy one anyway for a £15 game. It makes me laugh.
So what is Rust then?
It's a survival kind of game where I think the servers reset every week, but basically it's you start off naked with a rock in your hand. Yes. You start off in a land, in a, I don't know if it's a continent or if it's, I don't think it's a world type thing, but definitely a kind of area. And off you go. And there are other people out there that have crafted things together. So you can build stuff and make your own houses and make your own fortresses and bases. And the ingenuity and the creation and the crafting aspect of this game is awesome. You can talk to people that are around you in the game. So you could have Skype open and I could be talking to you here, but you'll see people on the other side of the map or in a house, and you can actually, when you talk online, you'll be taught, they'll hear you as well, because they're in the vicinity of where you are.
All right.
So you can go up to people and you'll be saying to them, you know, I'm friendly. All I'm trying to do is collect wood and everything else like that. And then they'll just gun you down. Or they'll just shoot you. And even though you're naked or maybe just with a pair of pants on, because you've tried to kind of pretend that you haven't got a lot of equipment.
Yeah.
And then they'll just raid your corpse. And then you'll go up later, try and get your stuff back, and it's all be gone because they've nicked it all. Or they'll have a massive base and they have these. And that's all you do is grief people. And then the server resets a week later, and then you start again. And yet,
I've seen some video clips of this before.
Yeah, my boys like it. And I went, I said, the closest analogy I can come up with is you're sitting there building a house of cards, and then some bloke comes up every 10 minutes and just kicks a table because they're a dick. I said, that's the game. I said, why do you play it? You know, I've seen him in tears sometimes with the frustration of, I've managed to get this and I've managed to get that. And it's like, dude, you've got to come off the game now. You know, it's 10 o'clock. That's it. Done. We're done. I know it's school holidays and everything. We're done. And it's like 15 minutes later. No, we're done. I just need to.
Yes, dude, you're going to lose it. Thing to do.
Yeah, you're going to lose it all anyway in about 2 days' time. What's the problem? Yeah. But I said, dude, right, in 15 minutes, I'm pulling the network cable out of the router. That's it. It's done. I said, so you've got that long. I don't give a monkey's. The moment that clock hits 10:30, and of course 10:30 comes around and you pull it out, I was just about to lock the door and shut the door. And it's just like, no. Oh, great. I've lost this. It's all your fault. I said, no, it's not. It's not my fault. And I get that. And then, you know, a day later, he started again and he's whatever. And it just baffles me. Absolutely baffles me that the amount of emotional effort and support he needs when he comes off that game. It's just quite horrific. And yeah, so I do find it quite amusing. So, but it gets them. It gets them in such a good state of when they're joined together with other team members and everything. Mm. He actually banded together with a YouTuber that was quite good and quite, you know, a couple of 100,000 subscribers and everything. And he was chatting to him online, and I could hear him talking to him. I could hear this side of the conversation. And he got off the kind of Discord conversation with him and muted his microphone. And he was jumping around the room with just such elation, with happiness that he'd just spoken to him. It's like he'd spoken to kind of, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal or Ryan Reynolds. It was like that for him. And he was so happy. It was really, really awesome. Next day he got to play with him, and he was like, you know, online, and they were doing various things and all that kind of stuff. And he was just absolutely set for the day. It was mildly amusing. And so that was also the
so
gone.
So are they still streaming themselves?
Yeah. My
or Twitching?
No. He streams on PlayStation, doesn't Twitch. We might Twitch to PlayStation. I don't think he does. I think he just goes straight to YouTube. Just Twitch streams straight through YouTube. He wants to stream through the PlayStation, but this goes back to my PC. It's not that good a PC. It'll play most games. Hence the reason for me buying a new game, a new PC. That's why he wants my old PC, so then he can do more streaming and everything, but he can't because, you know, it's money. It's all that kind of stuff. And that kind of thing. So, and I'm saying to him, no, you're in the last 2 years of school. Sorry, dude. This is now more important than YouTube at the moment. So go off and do that, then come back. Keep your hand in. Do whatever you need to do. But the next 2 years are more important than YouTube. So sorry. Off you go.
Cool.
And he doesn't quite get it yet. He doesn't quite get it until he's 17. And I say to him, right, you're off to college or you're getting a job. Which one are you doing? And I think they have to go to college anyway for 2 years. So
yeah, they do. Well, they got to go still be in education until 18. Yeah. So yeah.
The joys of being a grown up, the joys of being a parent.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
All right. I've got something for you. I'm going to send it through.
Oh, what is it? Is it filth?
Yeah, of course it's filth.
Awesome. I was just trying to think. What's that? Do you know what? Skype for Windows 10 is absolutely horrific, isn't it? It's just rubbish.
I don't use it. I don't use
it. It is rubbish. Well, I can't. You've sent through a message. I know you sent through a message. Can I find the message? Oh, there we are. Jesus, man alive. It's Kickstarter. You sent me to Kickstarter. Why are you sending me to Kickstarter?
Because you're going to love this game and you're going to pick it up and you and your wife are going to be playing it. Or you need to play the video.
Are you going to play the video? Okay, right.
Give a commentary on the video.
Is a grown man with a fit body and lots of money. Sexy
no, I'm not hearing it through.
With dirty underwear, Nicole.
I've got blinkity blink music playing. What ish?
Bedroom Battle is a strategic two-player card game where the players use their battle cards to build characters with high sex appeal, while at the same time trying to make their opponent's characters less sexy. Now, to make it more interesting, the winner of each round also gets to draw a reward card.
They're playing magic in the bedroom, is what I'm looking at the moment.
To act out before moving on to the next round. The player
they're building
who wins
characters
the most
with sex appeal.
Also wins the game.
Go on, you explain, while I'm listening, you explain what you've just sent me.
A challenge designed to bring both players to climax. In this reprint of Bedroom Battle, we're not only upgrading the game box and rules quality, we're also creating two brand new seasonal expansions. In hot summer days, we're adding new summer-themed battle cards, as well as more reward cards with fun and playful challenges to enjoy during warm, sunny days.
So I sent him through a Kickstarter link. This game is called Bedroom Battles, Hot Summer Days and Naughty Winter Nights. This is created by Tandy.
To learn more about how to play Bedroom Battle, please check out the video in the How to Play section below. We hope you like it.
Tingle Touch Games. Or Tingle Touch Games. It's their fifth creation. And it's basically a two-player game. Hopefully you'll be playing with your significant other. And you basically role-playing, making up role-playing games before having Jiggy Jiggy. I just thought Lewis would love this sort of thing. And
Why did you think I would sort of love this kind of thing?
Because I couldn't put it on the other podcast because that's family friendly, and I just wanted to put it on this one. Get your reaction.
Because it's filth. Because it's filth. That's obviously it. That's me. That's me to a T. Right. There's no cross dressing. I could read in any of these cards. Hang on.
No cross dressing. He's out.
Two sturdy piece card. No, what this needs to be is laminated. All these cards. That's what they need to be.
It needs to be printed on plastic cards.
Exactly. You know the cards that you get in Gloom?
Yeah.
Those cards. Those cards.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this is a Kickstarter project. It's actually going to end probably by the time this goes out, because I first spotted this soon after the last podcast we did. But, hell, it was just funny. You get all sorts of things. Got the man.
What currency is SEK? What's SEK?
I don't know, actually.
I wonder if Roddo's doing the How to Play guide.
I don't know if I want to watch that. Swedish,
Jen,
Korean,
see, that's what I'm thinking of.
Feed think. Swedish.
That
makes sense.
Is Swedish krona? Is it krona? Is
yeah, krona. Kronon or whatever.
How to play. Do you know what? The video's not bad with regards to professionalism and stuff.
Oh, it's actually well produced. It looks well produced and it's well presented. It's just a game.
This would be an Amazon for a fiver by Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking back, back when my and my wife's relationship was early, and we had a kind of a similar game that was on dice. You rolled dice and you just done what they said on the dice. And then she got bored. So let's just get on with it.
So the whole kit and caboodle is $39. The Bix Box of Love. What the fuck is that? Jesus Christ.
So you get a load of cards. So in the base game, you get in 57 character cards, 12 items, 12 attitude cards, 11 special cards, 20 small reward cards, 30 hot reward cards, 20 final reward cards, one starter player card, and two. What's that? Bail cards? Oh, bail cards, yeah. And a rule sheet. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think just if my performance is anything to go by, just go to the final reward cards, turn it over, and it's finished. That's it. And then just go to sleep.
With a comment, was that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Done. All
that's
right.
A de facto comment. Was that it? Yeah.
She rolls over. You go to sleep, love. I'll finish off here.
She's got a silent mode. It's like Airwolf.
Ah, dear.
No, you're right. Thankfully, I've closed my Kickstarter account down. We're fine.
You're going to sign back up just to get this in?
No. Okay. Shan't be signing up for anything. Next account to close is Facebook. I'm almost there.
He's almost there. Erasing himself from the internet bit by bit.
Bit by bit, yeah. No, I can do without that. That's fine. I'm only keeping Twitter for Eurovision. That's the only reason I want to keep that. Every now and again, like now, I kind of open it up and go, oh, yeah, it's that. As bad as I remember it now, isn't it? And
really? You don't like Twitter as well?
No, I don't like Twitter. No, Forrest Friends is one of the reasons for staying on Twitter. That he makes me laugh. So, yeah, he's very, very funny. So, yeah. No, I don't like Twitter. No, it's just full of... Yeah, no, don't like Twitter.
I thought you didn't mind Twitter because you're always on it.
No, I haven't posted or really been on there at all. Every now and again, I kind of look at it and kind of go, oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, it's a shame.
No. Nothing on it.
It's because you're getting old now.
No, I just, it's people complaining and lots of politics and lots of racism and lots of this, that, and the other. And it's just like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. Don't care anymore.
Yeah, don't. I know what you mean. I know.
Yeah. So, and even when I try to follow funny people, it's still every now and again you get the politics kind of creeping in. So, yeah. Because it's all fun and games out there at the moment. So, yes.
Cool. How are we doing? Let's have a look at the time. Got to the 1 hour mark.
Warning, spoilers about the Defenders coming up. So fast forward to 1 hour, 18 minutes and 25 seconds if you don't want this shit spoiled for you.
So let's get on with the big spoiler moment. Defenders. So just before we started recording, you actually finished off the last episode, didn't you?
I was just doing the last one, yeah. Yeah, that's it. I tried to watch it this week and was going through it at a fair old rate, and then, yeah, just trying to watch everything else and dealing with kids and everything just got in the way. So I think that was four episodes too long.
Do you?
Personally, yeah. Yeah. But that's not to say I didn't enjoy it. I still think that Danny Rand is a dick. And I do. He's like the eldest daughter, you know, from the Stark household. It's just, you can blame him for so much of stuff that goes on, as you can blame, you know, the eldest daughter in the Stark household for most of the shit that's going on in Game of Thrones. Whenever I watch it, I just think, you're a dick. You just annoy me. Luke Cage, he's almost better than Daredevil to me at the moment. So yeah, I like that whole world of his.
To say it was, I don't know if it was maybe one episode too long. I did think it's a very nice length. I did think it felt like they were trying to fit a fight scene into every episode.
Yep. Yep. And do you know what? It's
slightly
annoying,
unnecessary. I think, but it was just like, yeah, well, it's what they are. It's a fight scene. I did love Jessica Jones's comment. It's like, does everyone know fucking kung fu, not me? Kind of.
Yeah. And do you know what was annoying about most of those fight sequences is how choppy they were. I'm not a fight scene purist, and I'm not one of those people that will criticize a director type things, but. It just, especially in the last episode, it was, you could have just had that as an endless fight scene by just taking scenes out and putting them backwards and forwards with each other, because you didn't know what half was going on most of the time. And so it was just, because there was so much going on, you know, so many fights and so many people were fighting, it was just so choppy, this, that and the other. And it was just like just punches flying in all directions kind of thing, which is, you know, true to a comic and true to the theme and everything, but it was one of those things of I just sat back kind of going, it's just testosterone, you know, overload at the moment. So it's but yeah, I've really enjoyed it, and I was so gutted that Misty at the end, and because she's one sexy lady. I'd have to nurse her. Yeah, no, she's gorgeous.
Because in the comics, she's got a mechanical right arm.
Oh, really? I don't do any of those comics, so it's all new to me. So,
so she actually, throughout the comics, has got this bionic arm, which is funded by Tony Stark. But if you remember, when she's in the hospital, they did say it's the hospital's owned by Danny Rand, and it's one of the best hospitals around, so she's probably going to get the technology from the Rand Enterprise instead of trying to drag Robert Jr. down into it. So that is kind of on the card, was on the cards, that all the big fans was asking when's she going to lose her arm and everything like that. But I love the fact that for each character, when they were on their own, they were using the kind of the tone of their own episodes.
Yes.
If you didn't
notice
that.
Absolutely.
So they had the red tone.
Hence the reason why I said I love Luke Cage even more now. So yeah.
Yeah, so they had the red tone for Daredevil, the cold blue noir tone for Jessica, yellow for Cage, and it's kind of like sickly green for the Fist. But yeah, it was great in those sense. I said it did feel like they were cramming in a fight scene every episode, just for the hell of it. And I kind of, you kind of describe the whole episode as like the Avengers, but on TV, because you've had the build up. You knew this was coming. There was going to be a big come together. And like the Avengers film, they're all kind of pushed together because they have to come together. They all fall out, and then it comes to be as the big fight at the end, and they suddenly just start working together like a team, and they all love each other, and they want to be best buddies forever kind of thing. And it worked. Daredevil was quite annoying by trying to chase after Elektra all the time. Yeah, that was quite annoying. And I think Danny Rand, the Fist, his best moment was when he got to the restaurant and just like ordered food and said, I just eat kind of thing and talk kind of. And then that was his best moment. It's like, this is how I want him to be, cool and chilled and like, and then he just turns into this moping, soppy kid throughout. And
why can't I do this?
I can do anything I want. It's just like, you're not a teenager. You're a 20-year-old adult who's got these immense powers. Why don't you just listen to people and think for yourself? But maybe that's the problem with him. He still needs to grow up because he's been mummy cuddled with the monks.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do you know what the one lady, Madame Gal? Is it Gal?
Yeah, Madame Gal.
Oh, she's awesome. Yes. I was waiting for her to kick off. I knew she was going to be awesome in some way. I just thought there's no way you can be that frail and fragile looking and not actually be secretly someone you don't mess with. And yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed the fact that, yeah, she could just move shit and just kind of like go, just, it was great. And so there was her and Elektra and Daredevil at the end. And I went, there's no way, if she's in the pit with Elektra, that she hasn't got a way out of this.
Yeah.
Because she can move shit. So when the ending happened, and yes, okay, I know we're allowed to talk about it and we're going to talk about the ending. When it ended, I knew that they were going to get out. I did wonder how many, or if they would all, or whether or not it would be just one or two, or would they both be lying somewhere that you'd see them and everything. So I was just knew it was going to happen. They just kept teasing it, every kind of scene, teasing it, you know, with the silhouette of Rand on the top of the roof and then glowing fist. So it was him and everything. So I'll just fucking get on with it. Where is he?
Yeah.
So I knew it was going to happen and everything. But like I said, it was enjoyable. But I still am a Luke. I think I like Luke Cage more. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Daredevil
bit at the end, where he's in the monastery, the nunnery, I should say, is actually taken from actual comic book series that he was in. And so that last bit where he's on the bed, bandaged up, and that is actually kind of the front cover of the first one of a series of comic books. I can't remember what's
okay now.
So okay, it's there. It's past.
See, it's I don't know. It's proper hard for them to get it right on every level, because there's people that have read the comics and there's the diehards who kind of know all the ins and outs and on page 37 that this happened. So of course that couldn't happen in the comic because it, and all that kind of nerdism kind of stuff, which I don't really care for. And there's people like me that kind of go, "Is it all right, wasn't it?" You know, who just kind of have a passing interest in you know, in that kind of world or that side of the world. And to enjoy it and then to get it and to understand the character interaction between them all, and just like, what is Jessica Jones? Is she unbreakable? Is she just really strong? What is she? Why is she an alcoholic? All those kind of things that you don't know about. And maybe that leads to me actually finding out more about her and stuff. So
I believe she can fly as well, but you don't see her do that. And I think she used the alcohol to keep herself grounded.
I think, yeah, I figured that was very similar. I figured that was perhaps why she was an alcoholic. So,
I mean, that's all in the comic books as well. If you read Alias, the comic books, that's all there as well. So, yeah, I think season two is going to be good to find out more about her.
Is it Defenders season two, is it?
Well, yeah, they're doing... So next up is Punisher.
I knew Punisher was coming. Yep.
Then Jessica Jones 2.
Awesome.
Luke Cage 2. Awesome. Daredevil 3 and Fist 2.
Fist can cough.
I really hope they sort it out with that. Yeah, I don't think I could go for another 13 episodes of him pouting and whining.
That's true. Although his sexy sidekick is a very sexy sidekick. So oh, yeah. Colleen Wing. Yeah. So she can kick ass.
So I think good. Misty in the nurse is going to be predominant in Cage.
Well, they're the two linking characters, aren't they, between all of them? Well, not all of them. I know she
is. No, Misty is more Cage.
You're right. Correct. Sorry.
But yeah, the nurse is the Claire one that went throughout.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she knows all of them. mm-hmm. dealt with all of them.
Yep.
But they're predominant in Luke Cage again, in number two. So
that was cool. I did not see Sigourney Weaver's death coming that soon.
No, no. That was very good. I really liked one of the fingers of the hand. I liked the Murakami guy, the guy that spoke that weird language throughout. And mm-hmm. everyone seemed to understand what he's saying, and then they just spoke back to him in English, and he just yeah. understood. And it's just like, yeah. is he just being really arrogant? He's like, no, I'm just going to speak my language, and you lot have to suffer, kind of thing.
But, suck it up.
But he was also another awesome fighter, kind of thing. I loved his style of fighting. But yeah, and sad he died at the end. But hey,
I did wonder how many they were going to kill of those characters.
Well, so, they weren't going to kill Madame Gao. She's another main staple. She's been throughout most of the series.
I didn't know from the comics. I didn't know who was going to live. The only thing I actually researched when I looked up was Elektra.
Right.
Because I kind of like went, oh, okay, how mental is this going to get right now? Mm-hmm. So when they brought her back, I went, all right, I know Elektra with regards to her. I've seen her in stuff. This doesn't make any sense to me. I need to read what's going on here just to kind of get a grasp onto what's actually happening here. She's a good messed up character. She's really, you know, from what I read from the synopsis of what she does in her life, in a comic mm-hmm. life kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. She's quite an involved character. So that's might be one worth reading. So yeah, it's quite good.
Wow.
Yeah, she's all over the place. Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good. So it's one of those things of like, okay. And that's the trouble. See, when you go down this route, I've been down this route before with comics. I have an expensive 8 boxes under my stairs of comics. Mm. And when I start to go down that route, so that's why now I tend to buy kind of graphic novels in kind of, you know, part 1, 2, 3, 4s, where they've kind of amalgamated 17 storylines in one novel type thing that I've read. Yeah. So, because I've given up buying them in kind of week by week stuff. So it's too expensive. I can't afford that anymore. So yeah. So that's cool. But okay, so I like we talked about this before. We talked about the four before. I quite enjoyed it. I'm quite looking forward to seeing what they do, but because now they've got the hump of the kind of joining together, kind of banding together kind of stuff going on. That's all out the way with
Yeah, but then again it's gonna be the Avengers all over again where they're gonna have their separate roles, and it'd be like, well, why aren't they calling on so and so to come and help them? And why is there no real mention of just getting the Avengers back together to help them out with this? It's going to be that again, isn't it? They're going to be off on their own, in their own little world, and there might be references and things like that, but it'd just be like, wow, I'm just going to call Luke Cage and give me a hand, because nothing can kill him, really, so just use him. But I don't know. That'd be the annoying thing, I think, next. They know they're out there, but they won't call them. They don't know how to use a mobile phone. Afterwards.
Sure, they must have like a bat symbol. They just have a big A that they just kind of shine into the sky
D.
or something.
Big A, big D.
Big A for the Avengers, no? Oh, you're going big D for Defenders. Okay. I think shining a big D in the sky means probably something different in America. So.
Oh, dear. So, yeah.
That's cool. Talking about board games for a second.
Go on in.
That's it. I'm done. Moving on.
I'll tell you what, if we're going to go quickly in ball games, I had one of the best gaming nights I had where...
You had a dexterous gaming night. I saw that on Twitter.
It was
a dexterity gaming night.
Brilliant.
It looked awesome.
It
did look awesome.
I was so surprised because Dr. Lewis, who came round, and he was the only one at first that said he could make that night. So I was like, okay, we could play Star Wars Rebellion. That's a great two-player game. So I said, oh, we'll play this tonight then. Before we got there, and he says, oh, that'd be great, but I've got a mate coming. Is that all right? I said, yeah, that's fine. So he came around, and so I was expecting like to be playing some like Euro kind of games, because he likes to think like that. And he was like, first game, he goes, so what we got, let's play Rampage. It's like, really? He said, yeah, I love dexterity games. And he's brought on the last Kickstarter was the Catacombs reprint, and he spent like 150 quid. No, 350 what? Quid on the whole
350.
Lot.
Jesus, 350. With all the expansions. Jesus yeah. Christ.
So he's imminent. It's imminent inbound at the minute, he says, and he just can't wait to get it. So yeah, we started off with Rampage. We went to Riff Raff, And I don't know if you saw the video on Twitter.
Yes, the super slow-mo catch.
I don't know what happened with that. I swear I trimmed it down to slow-mo at the point that he let go.
What,
and it
for
started
15 hours? For about 7 hours?
It went on Twitter as 2 minutes and it was complete slow-mo. I was like, that's not right. So I tried it again and like picked the actual video. I knew I picked the right video and tried to put it on there. It's done it again. It's just slow-mo'd the whole lot. The freaking hell's going on with that? So I was like, I don't know what happened with that, but it wasn't meant to be that long. But on Facebook, you can go and see the actual video that's meant to be the real edited cut. And yeah, it's just hilarious. Chris was his name. He came along and he put a piece on. They all started falling off one side. So he went to catch and he caught them all, which was amazing. He caught every single piece that fell off. And then because he realised from beforehand that it swings and chucks the rest off, he went round the other side to prepare for that and just knocked the whole boat and chucked everything else off. It's just hilarious.
That's good. I do have a gaming title. So I found somebody locally who has never, who we were chatting about stuff, and I said to them, I play board games. Because yeah, they said, I heard that kind of, you know, you like board games. I said. And they said, we play Kaplunk. And I looked at them with that kind of vacant stare of seriously. And they said, yeah, it turns into a buckfast evening where we just kind of drink and just chat. I said, look, if you're ever free, pop round. I'll introduce you to some other kind of logical, kind of dexterity, kind of silly games.
Yeah.
So they popped round. And I there's a lot of kind of games I've got rid of and stuff. So I kind of looked at what I had, and a lot of it's kind of solo games. Some of it's quite heavy, and a lot of it is actually quite light that I can play with the kids. So I kind of, there's quite a few there, but a lot of them work with 3 players or more.
Do you still have Coconuts?
I still have Coconuts. That was awesome. Fine. That was one of those games I was looking at. Click Clack.
That's what we played as well. Yeah, we played.
I saw your Click Clack as well. And there was all these kind of games, and I was kind of going, do you know what? Because they quite like that Connect Four. Because they were joking, and they also talked about, do you know how to play backgammon? Right. And I said, no, but I can look a video up and work out how to do it. So they came round. We played Corridor Goblet. We played, what's the Mensa game with the shapes that you got 4 shapes and you add them all up? It's not, I've got it as Mensa, but it's not called Mensa. It's a color game where you've got 4 different colors. Oh, no, more than that. I think you've got 6 or 8 different colors, different shapes as well. And whenever you lay your tile down, it's got 2 different shapes of the same shape. You then add every color going off in different directions that match. And you're trying to get the six colors up to 16. And there's a halfway mark of 8. And it's called, either way, it was one of those things where they say exactly the same thing. It was that moment of looking at them and watching them go, how does somebody sit down and work this out? And we were playing Patchwork, that 2-player, you know, the sewing game. And when I said to them, right, we're going to play a sewing game, and they looked at me and said, are you fucking serious? You there? Oh, see the joys of Skype. There you go. He's back.
Well, it's calling me. It's coming through the computer and my phone and everything else.
So. Oh, sorry. So, you know, Patchwork, the game, and the 2-player game, and I was kind of explaining this, right. And they just looked at me and said, I'm not playing a sewing game.
Back in a minute.
And they said, okay, I've now got to wait for an analogy story. I could amble. I could talk about it, I suppose. It depends how he edits. It's not good. I just could fill it with filth that he's got to bleep out. That's one thing I could do. Do-do-do-do-do. Can't wait to sell my house so I can get PSVR. Do-do-do. Shitly stuff in here that he's going to find out later on. What can I leave in here?
Back.
So I've given up now. I've talked about Patchwork twice. You fucked off. I just went bollocks to it. I just go.
The wife is saying, "There's a spider on the stairs. I can't get to bed. So I have to go and rescue her."
Do you know Jess, my daughter, lives in Exeter. She had a spider in her bedroom. Said, "Come and help me. Save me." I went, "No, I'm not driving now. She went, I can't sleep with the spider here. I've got work. And I said, then deal with the shit then. And she went, I can't sleep. And I went, I'm not driving for 2 hours to get rid of a spider in your bedroom.
Really? Brilliant.
Could not believe I was having that conversation with her. Genuinely couldn't believe I was having that conversation. Ridiculous people. Arachnophobics, bloody pathetic. Man up.
Cool.
Anyway, I was referring to the startled look of somebody as I was playing Patchwork, as we were playing the game. That question I get asked by my sister-in-law and a lot of other people that I've played with that are outside the kind of hobby thing. When you're talking to family members, mother-in-law has done it, mum's done it, sister-in-law, and they've all kind of had a similar thing, which is, how does somebody come up with this? How does somebody work this out? Who on earth? And then you don't want to show them Board Game Geek because that would just make them fall asleep. But you just want to kind of open that door up and go, look, and see all the glittering sparkles of gold in the board gaming world. But it's so overwhelming. And they pulled Flashwork off the shelf. And every time they pulled out a game, I said, look, don't be scared. There's loads of stuff in these games. But really, and as we pulled a Flashpoint Fire Rescue, I said, it's you versus the game. This isn't we're going to play against each other. We're not doing anything like trying to spell or anything along those lines. There's nothing here. It's us trying to save people from a fire, and the game hates us and wants to kill everybody. And in the end, it will kill everybody or burn the house down. It's up to you to get as many people out as possible. If you can get, I think it's 7, then we're going to win. If you can get 10, you're awesome. But basically, if you can get out with more than 7, you're laughing.
And but you'll keep going through rooms every turn, and suddenly someone pops up in the room. It's like, yep. I've walked through that bit 10 times, really, and she's never been there until now.
Bloody cat. And I pulled a game off the shelf. Forbidden Desert. That was another one as well. And oh, yeah. I put that one down. I said, okay, small little game. It's you. I've crashed down in the desert. Yada, yada. And it looked at me and I said, we'll play them. I said, and we'll sit there and we'll play them. And just like Patchwork, when we were playing that, and you kind of went, why on earth are we playing this? And you get to that halfway point of the game and you go, oh, this is quite good. I get this game. And I said, all of these games, if we're playing against each other, all of these games don't count. They're all learning games. So do not think that you've lost to me or anything along those lines. It's not. You've literally played the game for the first time. When you get to the end do you go, now I see how I need to strategize, all that kind of stuff. That's it. They don't count. They're all good. And Goblet and Corridor, because of the simplicity of those games, it was just such a joy to watch them kind of go, oh, these are great. And that kind of, can I borrow this? Yeah, sure. Here, take it. You know, it's great. It was really nice to see the eyes open the first time it did to me when I first started getting into the hobby. And it was really nice to see. So yes, I'm sad I've got rid of certain games like Stone Age for moments like that where I could have gone, I could play this game with you. That's quite good. But Stone Age is a game I can't play with too many people because I will kick their asses because I've played it so many times.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me. I could not play it well. You know, I can turn around and say, but it's hard for me not to say, you need to do this or you want to do that and turn into an alpha gamer. So yeah. I have to just keep quiet and sit there twiddling my thumbs. And of course, I was averaging on roughly 180 to 220-ish points whenever I was playing it online. And when you start to score that, and when the first time you start playing it, you're happy to get 100. And it's really easy to see all the combos after you play that game for quite a lot of times. So it's just like, okay, fine. I need to sell it. So that's one of the reasons why I got rid of that game. And I kind of wish I hadn't, because it's Lords of Waterdeep. It's very kind of fantasy. And it turns some people off because they always think it's Dungeons and Dragons and wizards and warriors and all that kind of stuff. And Stone Age is one of those games where it doesn't adhere to those kind of rule sets, but it's still worker placement. And it's that my first worker placement game. It's quite a good stepping stone. So. But anyway, it was good. It was one of those evenings of just opening somebody's eyes up to board gaming, and it was a pleasure to do. So it was good. It was good.
So you're going to add innovation to your gaming collection?
Oh, we're going to talk about that. No, I wasn't going to talk about that because it's not fair. And I kept saying to the dude, okay, so we have a gaming meetup in Crediton. We play. There was quite a few people there. And there
you
was
four, were a grumpy bastard that night.
I was a very grumpy bastard that night. And I rather than kind of take it out on people, I just shut up and just was quiet. And there was 10 of us, because there was 4 people playing near and far,
Yeah.
Then there were six of us left. Never a good game is played with six people unless it's like Cash and Guns or something along those lines, or Dixit or something. So you really can't play a game. Even though they say up to six players, don't do it. Everyone knows you don't do that.
We did do the Gods for Arena for the Gods.
Yep.
That was six player. That was all right, but it was a bit a lot of downtime between people's goes.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad as that other game that you've got that was like that with the arena of killing people.
Ultimate Warriors.
Yeah, you can go off and make an omelette and sandwiches and, you know, have a nap between turns on that game because there's nothing for you to do. But at least in that game, you did feel like there was something, not much you could do, but you have taken part in it. Anyway, so we then split off into two threes, and there was a gentleman there who said, okay, what do you want to play? And I just said, I don't care. I don't care. And I didn't, to be fair. And I just said, you know, whatever you two want to play, I'll play. And he said, right, I've got this game called Innovation. I've got this as well. I've got this. And he had a couple of other games. And I didn't know any of them. And I wasn't in the mood to teach. So I was barely in the mood to be there. So I just kind of like went, whatever you guys want to fancy. And he pulled out this game called Innovations. And Innovation is a card engine building civ game where you start off in certain ages. And I think there's six or eight, or maybe there's 10. Might be 10. It's a clock facey type thing. And these cards you draw from these stacks, put on your tableau, to build up your engine, to band together symbols which allow you to draw more of this. And it's just one of those games where I looked at and after about 10 minutes went, I know how this is going to go and I don't care for it at all. And I thought, okay, let's see how it plays. Let's just see how the game plays and see if it's interesting. And as I said to him on the Facebook post, it had nothing to do with your teaching because everything he taught, I understood. I wasn't left with any of those moments of, I don't quite understand what I'm doing here. I did understand what I was doing, but I didn't really care for the game because it just felt so pasted and I didn't really see how I was much in control of what I was doing and stuff. And I don't know, that's not right. I don't know. And as I think I put on Facebook, there are thousands of games out there with great artwork, great mechanics, great components. I do not need to play games like this. There's other games that I can play. I don't see the point of playing these games. Historically wise, I can turn around and say this game is where everything else comes from. I don't care because there's so many games out there. Why not enjoy a game that's got some great components, got good artwork, has streamlined the mechanics or made it, you know, fluffed up the mechanics and put more theme into it so you feel like you're doing something more relevant. I don't know. That's how I came away from that game. I just went, this is a really old school kind of game and I don't enjoy it. And then I looked at the BGG rating of 7 point whatever it was and went, that's the problem with BGG. If anyone looks at a BGG score and says, well, that's got a blah, blah, blah rating, it must be a good game. No, because the only people that are rating it are people that just are more mechanics over enjoyment, I think. And maybe that's the problem I have, is that my enjoyment and everyone's enjoyment is different. And my enjoyment is fun and excitement and immersion and all that kind of stuff rather than the mechanics of something. And that's the reason why I've taken a step back from gaming as such, is because there's just too much out there to be involved with now that I don't want to kind of swamp myself by constantly trying to swim in this massive lake of gluttony of games that are out there. I just will play what's there. And it's when the games
along that, like, play a version that is like the basic. There is another version out there that has good artwork for it, kind of thing. I think it's the yellow one that does it. It's got good artwork. So you did draw the short straw and play one with no artwork or minimal.
And like I said, he taught it well. Nothing wrong with teaching. And if he really enjoyed the game, I felt bad for the fact that I was sitting there being a grumpy bastard. And so, you know, I just turned around and said, no, I'm sorry, that kind of stuff. You know, and if I would have been in a better mood while I enjoyed it, no, because it was just stale. It just was just so bland and stale and this does that and these symbols did this and I've got more symbols so I can do 15 different things more than you and I'm going to do this now and I can get this card over here. It's like, awesome, enjoy yourself. You know, and that was what I came with. So, and like I said, there are so many games out there at the moment. So just enjoy the nice, colourful, fun, and in exciting games rather than these old-style games. I just don't get it. And he admitted he's an old-style gamer, you know.
Yeah, I think you were just used and abused. And it looked, and you looked like it on your face when I looked over and I was like, you're not enjoying it, are you?
Not in the
fuck off.
Not in the slightest. No, not in the slightest. So, and like I said, I apologize to him. I said I'd rather play Through the Ages than play that again as a Civ game. And although he commented on it and said, well, it's not really a Civ game. You misunderstood what I was doing. I was actually mocking the fact that I'd rather play that game than your game ever again. So, yes.
Right.
Right. Okay. Sorry. Harboring on. So, yes, it's Monday. I've done a load of work. I'm knackered. And, yes, I've got my first day of work tomorrow, which I'm not looking forward to. So, yes. Yes, I'm going to go and get some sleep and then pretend to look important tomorrow morning. Oh, no.
Cool.
Pretend to show I care. I think that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. So,
yeah. And that will conclude the show for tonight. Hey, I have been Joel Wright at Devon Dice UK.
I have been Lewis Holt, which is at Dippy Doolittle.
And this has been episode 2 of Devon Dice Podcast Unhinged. And thank you for listening.
Not as rude this week. I press stop, and then I can export off. Yeah, I auditioned for the Crucible Amdram stuff that's going on up here in North Devon in the Devon Amateur Dramatics Society type thing.
Nice.
Yeah. No, not really. Not really. It's a sensible role. It's like with grown-ups and stuff. Oh, I've done it in stereo again. I'm sorry. It's a sensible role. It's not like me dressed up as a fairy or kind of prancing around as a village idiot. So I'm not 100% sure I can pull it off. So, but I went along for an audition because one of my friends who does it, she said, "Oh, it'd be really good if you could try out because they really could do with some more men. Men's a real shortage in Amdram, no matter where you are. Apparently in the world, apparently it's an issue." And I said, all right, I'll go up. And there was a good 4 or 5 men up there. I thought I'd been coerced into doing this. I didn't really have to go and do it. And they said, oh, we'd really like you to do the priest. There's a priest in it. I've forgotten what his name is. And yes.
I don't know.
No, I didn't know either. I watched the thing on YouTube and went, oh my Jesus God, this looks very serious. And Daniel Day-Lewis and Winona Ryder did a film version of it, which actually is quite good.
Right.
It's going to be, yeah, it's my first real kind of role kind of thing. And rehearsals start, I think, if I get it right, is it the 8th? Yeah, I think it's the 8th that rehearsals start, which is September. Yeah, it is September because it's actually going to be performed in October or November time, so. Yeah, not looking forward to it already. So that's going to be good. only because I'm scared.
Get nervous when you go up on stage.
Oh, absolutely! Does. Jesus Christ, man alive! Yes, when I did the panto, was it this year? When I was the villain this year, even that, you know, what's it? 150 a night? Was it under? Yeah, about 150 a night or so, maybe a bit more on the final night. It's great, you know, the moment I'm just about to go on stage, I'm sitting there flapping mentally in my head, kind of going through my lines, have the piece of paper in my hand and kind of going, right, don't look at it, then look at it. And then the moment you get out there and you start saying your lines and you do all the bits and pieces and you know where you are on the stage and someone else comes out and they do their line, you know what's coming next. And that's a really nice feeling. And it feels like you're kind of, you know, when you're reciting things like IT Crowd or Back to the Future or whatever it is, you know, your favorite scene in a certain thing, that's how it feels. And it starts to flow together. And it's when somebody cocks up or when somebody says something and you go, hang on, that doesn't feel right. But you know what your line is. So you kind of do that. It's like Pavlovian thing where somebody shouts, oggy, 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 you, oi, oi, oi. So somebody says the line and you kind of respond going, hang on, that wasn't right. But I know I had to say that line after he said his line, but what you've forgotten is that he's jumped a page in the script. It wasn't you that, but you didn't realize it. So then you've kind of gone, hang on a second. We either need to get back to where we were or we just carry on. And
have you seen any of those shows where they fuck it up purposely?
Yes, and they are brilliant. Yes, the Panto things. It was on BBC this year.
Yeah, they've done Peter Pan on BBC.
Yeah, and they've done Murder, She Wrote, and they were doing a performance down in Plymouth, and I wanted to get tickets, but I couldn't. But some of the guys from the Panto went to see it, and they said it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, my in-laws have been to London several times to watch their productions. They just said it's absolutely brilliant. I think they said they've seen the murder one, and they're trying to get an actual murder body out of the stage, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's just so brilliant, and the way they wraps it all up, but it's great.
Yeah. No. I wanted to see it, but I couldn't. So. But do you know what? Doing it that way, actually doing it badly but well is even harder. So yeah, I doff my hat to them. So, and actually, in the Peter Pan one, the sound engineer that came on, the one with the headset, he's actually the director of it.
Yeah.
And what was really weird was, and this is the power of Twitter in almost a viral way. I commented, I think, on Twitter to James Batchelor about it and said, if you haven't seen it, you really want to see this is awesome, because he does loads of gang shows and stuff like that. And I said, if you haven't seen it, really, really watch it on iPlayer. It's hysterical. Didn't say anything else like that. The dude liked my post, and I went, who the hell's he? Looked at the picture and went, I recognize him. He's the sound engineer. Looked at his profile picture. He's the director of the show.
Wow.
So then on his profile, clicked the link and then saw the performance and then told everyone else at my pantomime, they've got a performance in Plymouth. This is the tour. So they got, I think it was about 15 or 20 tickets out of the lot from up here going to see them, simply for the fact that he liked a tweet. So the power of the internet and Twitter and everything. So yeah, that's nice. Good. It was good. So nice one. Cheers, dude.
Yeah. Cheers.
And see you soon. All right, then.
Speak to you later.
Cheers.
Thank you.